it. Here we go. Right to us. MyNorthwest.com. Or come on into the State Roofing text line at 98973 and give that teeny tiny lady something to do other than smell her armpits. Ooh, here she comes down. The horse is bringing her in. Oh, she looks angry at me. I didn't know she could hear me. I thought the glass was thicker. Let's get that microphone in there. Oh, look who's holding on to her. It's Lindsey Graham, Tom.
If you're working for $15 an hour, that makes you almost a chump.
Well, yes. Yes, it does.
There's a lot of jobs out there that are unfilled.
What?
And will never be filled until you change the benefit structure. Does that logic make sense to you, given where we're at in our economy?
I do not know.
Well, I got a lot of people in my family that ain't working because they're getting... I'll show you some in my family.
Oh, my.
All the newsmakers, Tom. Here you and I are schlepping through 4 hours of news. And teeny tiny lady in a pickle jar being brought in by two horses. One of them named Lady Treasure and the other one I can't remember. She gets a chance to talk to all the news people.
No, she lost today if she had to talk to Lindsey.
Really? Not a Lindsey fan? Like somebody like Chuck Schumer?
You bet.
Governor Inslee's at it again. He is, by the way, he's still, are we still in emergency state of power? Does he still have full reign over everything?
Yeah.
Yes. And that will remain. Oh, sorry.
Until when? Until when?
Who's that voice I hear?
Sorry, I heard my music. I thought I was supposed to come in. You know, he has not said when he might let that go, only that the state of emergency will not end when we fully open. It will continue because there's the threat of, you know, down the line resurgence, all of that, variants and things like that.
Good. State of emergency. So who has he? I know that when Susie Levine and the giant explosion occurred behind her and the millions and millions of dollars that were siphoned from us and went to Nigeria, she, of course, then went off to Washington, D.C., because when you can foul up as badly as she does, you deserve to be in the federal government. She's gone. Who replaced her?
Well, funny you should ask, because the governor made that announcement today with the DOES, the commissioner being...
Cammy Feek will be our new Employment Security Department commissioner. Cammy has been the interim director since February, and she's been excellent during this transition period, and I appreciate her stepping up to the plate. She's an obvious choice for this position. She's been working hard for 25 years in state government. Her experience is perfect for this position. I want to particularly commend her as a leader for standing up our paid family medical leave policy in the state of Washington.
And this new ESD commissioner, of course, she's been there, right, this whole time since February. She took over for Susie Levine. The new commissioner not shy about highlighting her skills and accomplishments.
Since my temporary appointment, as you noted, we've made progress. And although this isn't an exhaustive list, a few quick examples include successfully stopping an organized imposter fraud attack in early May. We prevented and didn't pay these criminals in their attempts to steal UI benefits. We've also made steady progress in increasing the number of claims issues that we clear each month. This, of course, means results in lower wait times for claimants.
So she did that, and she said she's got lots of new hiring coming, and they're doing a lot of the work. And then at some point in the press conference, someone asked her a question about, you know, the lag in payments, people who are having difficulties getting their unemployment, things like that. And she said, we're doing, as you know, much better than what had been done before. And but please, I believe it was Essex Porter who asked it. She said, please, Essex, if you hear of anyone from like that, if they contact you, please get in touch with us right away because we'll get right on it. And that, I know, was not always happening when the media would contact ESD in the past. So there you go. All right.
Do we have any way the those of us who don't have any access to, you know, the levers of power in Olympia? Do we have any way to sort of assess how good or bad an appointment this is? Does she come with encomiums, you know, singing her praises? Is it just Jay Inslee's recommendation? What is all this based on? Is there any opposition to her?
25
years. I have not seen any opposition, but I will tell you that she is the woman who is responsible for kind of standing up our paid family medical leave system, which started a few years back. And that was a huge, huge ordeal. I know because I covered it. I interviewed her and I interviewed some of the people below her. It was a very, very big task and it was a very complicated task and she did it very well. So okay. I think that's where a lot of her, support is coming from.
For track, as track records go, that's a good indication. I'm just wondering, with because the Susie Levine thing blew up in his face, was Inslee not asked really. About any comparison, you know, or is he still standing by Susie
no.
Levine?
And he didn't say anything specific okay. about Susie, but he was asked, actually, I think Nicole Jennings was on the press conference and asked a question, and she said, was it kind of comparing security protections against fraud and things like that with the lottery for the vaccinations to the ESD fraud. And the governor said the two things are, you know, it's apples and oranges. You can't compare them. But he came out and came back and said, look, I want to point out that a lot of other states had this same issue where they were hit by the fraud. It's not just us. It's not just Susie, that kind of thing. So
Okay. That's
that. So we'll see. But she has, as she highlighted there, already stopped her own fraud and has done a lot of other things. So we'll see. It's going to take a minute to find out, I think, how great she is.
You mentioned the lottery. Did he talk at all about the fact that apparently we now have a winner, not announced, but it's been announced that the winner has been contacted? Anything come up about that at all at his press conference?
Yes, and he said exactly what you just said, but he
okay.
they're going through some kind of checks and balances, basically. And that was one of the things, actually, again, with Nicole Jennings' question, where he was asked about the comparisons to the lottery fraud and the ESD fraud. He said, one of the things we're doing is making sure that we're double-checking everyone is who they
who
say they are.
The money,
and you know what I mean? And And there was actually a couple of interesting things that came up. There was a question about whether there was violations of healthcare privacy by giving this information out to the lottery of people. And there's not, because you're getting, it's just like the regular lottery. They're just assigning a number. So they're not sending any health data from anybody to the lottery. They're just sending a number to the lottery and they put it in whatever it is they draw from.
If you
right,
win,
like that.
All we know is that you got vaccinated, but then vaccinations is not covered by HIPAA or anything. So I think that's all on the up and up.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So that was fine. And I didn't hear him say when we might know exactly who this is, but it sounds like it's kind of a lengthy process. Plus they have to go in person. That was something that, one of the other press people on the call, got out of him. It was that it's like the lottery, right? When you win a big prize like that, you have to go in person and claim it.
That's right.
Cause generally there's taxes to be paid. I don't know if there is here.
Remember that time we did the story of the person that didn't want to come forward? They said, well, you don't come forward, you can't get
That's it. How you don't get it?
It was a state law. I think Washington has, I don't know if it's the law that you have to come forward, but others wish to
it
remain
is.
Anonymous.
No, you're right.
Is that right?
I believe so, yeah, because that was a big deal. That person didn't want to come forward. You got to do it or lose it.
How about the Seattle City Council has asked overdose and recovery panels to consider decriminalizing more drugs?
Yes. Can I divert back to something else first?
Oh,
then?
Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Whose show is
the bus.
This?
What's
obviously,
going
it's
on?
Yours.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I wanted to go. Okay, I'm going to skip that one because we already covered it. So I wanted to say that he took some time out of his press conference to say thank you to Mayor Durkan, and I've got a Mayor Durkan cut with her own statistic to explain why that happened.
Remember, we were the first in, and we will be announcing that we will be the first in the nation to hit 70% vaccination of 12 and older. And those happen because the people in the city did what was hard when we asked them. They stayed home. They saw their businesses suffer. They saw their loved ones get sick. People were separated for month after month after month.
So that's Mayor Durkan this morning announcing that Seattle was the first in the nation to hit that 70% mark, which the state has not yet done. But the governor did talk about how no matter what, if we hit 70% or not, we will be reopening on June 30th.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in every industry then can go back to basically business as usual is the gist. And that is with the exception of large indoor venues, which will have to be at 75% capacity until further notice, just because of the dangers of being in a large indoor gathering, I guess.
I heard rumor that he's going to give up on the employer must check vax status thing. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that, but I wish I knew that beforehand. I would have asked.
Okay. Sorry,
I will circle back and find out, but I have not heard that.
Okay. Yeah. Just that I just saw that. So. All right.
Well, and I think it's I think if everybody's going back to business as usual, that might be the case. But he did say that masks will still be something that people have to. He's not giving up on the mask mandate just yet.
No, of course. It's not the science. It doesn't matter. All right. Now can you talk about psychedelics being legalized in Seattle?
I can. This came up earlier this week at the Seattle City Council, and it's basically Councilmember Andrew Lewis and Lisa Herbold, who had signed onto this letter. There's a new overdose, I forget the exact name, task force group that's going to be forming and looking at various ways to address drug addiction and equality and all those things. So Andrew Lewis proposed the legalization. Here's what he said.
And we've also been in close contact with the advocates organizing around the decrim nature movement to reassess public policy in a progressive direction around entheogens, also known as psychedelics.
Shrooms.
And the city policy related to entheogens, following the lead of a number of jurisdictions around the country who have either made it a low law enforcement priority or even legalized or decriminalized the substances.
Shama Sawant was on board.
Data has shown just absolutely overwhelmingly that the criminal justice system is a terrible response. We know Reagan's and the neoliberal era failed war on drugs did nothing but expand mass incarceration, decimating especially communities of color and working class communities. The criminalization of psychedelic drugs is only a small part of that mass incarceration problem, but it is a part. But more specifically, there is now significant research showing that these psychedelic drugs are very harmful. Are rarely harmful and can have very significant benefits. Research has shown that they can have a powerful benefit in some circumstances to treat PTSD, depression, and addiction.
So that was kind of the premise, is that it's use in treatment of addiction to opioids and harder drugs like that. It's the helpful in anxiety, PTSD, and things like that. And then you had Teresa Mosqueda chime in with she had a friend who had traumatic brain injury, and that there's new research also showing that it can be helpful in those instances. So a lot of benefits, and really it's, you know, the discussion is very much like it was before, what was it, I-502, when we legalized the marijuana, that the benefits of these things are better than, you know, there's no reason to have them be illegal. So again, this was a letter to ask the group to look into this that's going to be formed, and 7 of the 9 signed on to it, with actually Dan Strauss was absent, so he didn't count, and then Alex Peterson was just hesitant. He wanted to take a little bit of a closer look. But separately, Sawant and another council member are proposing their own legislation. They should be soon to they cannot legalize it. They can make it the lowest priority for police.
I see. Nobody ever challenges Shama Sawant when she says mass incarceration because drug enforcement, which is not true. But no one ever calls her on this stuff. She just says it. I mean, even if you read Vox, you read Atlantic, you can read anything, and it'll show you from the 1970s up. And when, I mean, just she says this, and no one ever goes, well, that's not actually true. But that aside, this is an opportunity for the state of Washington to make even more money by allowing people to pay for mushrooms that are being produced by the state of Washington, and they could tax it at 50%, right?
Well, no, because Seattle could not do that on its own. All it can do is make it the lowest priority for police, right? So police, you don't bother the people on the shrooms. And then there's other things besides shrooms. But this is also what this letter from Lewis and Herbold does, is also ask this group to not only make some recommendations for Seattle, but recommendations to the state legislature, with the idea being then that the state could decriminalize it statewide.
Is there any chance that you could come up with a compromise that this could be like medical marijuana was? I can't imagine too many people really objecting to the use of shrooms for any kind of health benefit, you know, for people dealing with PTSD or anything else. But I can imagine that some may just say, oh, here's another drug that's going to be, you know, allowed on our streets and ruin our kids. Is there a chance you could have that kind of halfway mark, that if it's prescribed by a doctor, say, or you have a reason to need it, that you could get that kind of half measure?
I mean, you could certainly have someone propose it. I don't know that it would fly necessarily in Seattle, because, again, and actually even in a lot of the state. Remember, there's a very large push just in general to decriminalize most drugs as it is, all drugs. Okay. And you were mentioning that mass incarceration, John. I can tell you just about everyone from the Seattle City Council to the state legislature on the Democratic side anyway will tell you that very same thing when it comes to all drugs. And the war on drugs hasn't worked, and it led to mass incarceration, and it's disproportionately affected.
Not true. The statistics don't bear that out.
The argument on the other side,
the numbers?
Statistics bear that out.
You want the numbers?
No. The numbers.
I'll send them to you. I'm not going to read them on the air, but I'll send them to you. Okay, this is from 2019, and this is from Vox, which is not exactly the most conservative group of people writing on a daily basis. But I'll give you the latest data from the U.S. Bureau of Justice Statistics showing how many people are actually in prison because of drugs. So it's nonsense. It's not part of it. Don't say you're going to stop people from going to jail by legalizing drugs, and that's going to stop the incarceration.
But nobody ever challenges her on that, because they will tell you the same thing. That's my point.
Oh, right, exactly, sure. And by the way, the sun circles us. We don't circle the sun, right?
Oh, that's right.
Is that what it was? I forgot. Yeah.
No,
it's what we think to be believed, so we just continue to repeat it over and over again, and no one ever says, "Well, actually, that's not true."
Because okay, so John, when they cracked down on crime in the 90s, that's what the crime bill and all of that. You say that there wasn't a disproportionate number of blacks that ended up being put in prison as a result.
Oh, disproportionate number of blacks did go in prison because disproportionate number of blacks committed more crime. So then you'd get more disproportionate to white people, Tom.
Okay,
so that's how you end up with that.
That's what you're talking about.
1993 Clinton-Biden crime bill?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which has had terrible effects. It has disproportionately affected people of color and has led to a lot of people, even
drugs.
In our state.
Not drugs.
Not shrooms, maybe, but some other drugs.
Mass incarceration because
of
drugs.
How many people use shrooms anyway?
We're talking about crack, though, right?
I do
crack
cocaine. What's that, Tom?
Crack cocaine under that bill.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Oh, sorry, Tom.
We'll follow up that. And then
crack cocaine? Crack cocaine's included in this?
No, I'm saying
We were talking about the 90s.
Oh.
No, but how many people use shrooms? Like, how many people are going to be affected by this? And then John
Here's
just shouted
you,
out
Hannah.
That he does.
Charles, what? I did not. Charles Rankel. Remember Charles Rankel from New York? He was the one that said, we need to make sure that we charge people with crack cocaine at a higher sentencing than cocaine.
Yeah.
That's right. Some blacks did, and other blacks thought it was terrible. Yeah,
it was
a split
majority,
in the African-American community.
That's why, because it was devastating the black community. So it was not about the white people out there and Ronald Reagan and the rest. It came from the black caucus saying, we need to stop crack cocaine, and that's what they plan on doing.
But wait.
What?
Did the war on drugs work, do you think?
No.
Good enough. Fair enough.
Exhibit A, John.
Yeah, come after me. All right, Tracy Taylor's got to look at traffic for us. All right, here we go. Write to us. That's good for you. Let's get to the fact that Kamala Harris, Tom. It seems like if you were trying to create one of the... What was that show? The bunch of calls was in Kevin Spacey, the White House stuff. You give the person a horrible job, and then they fail at it, and then you basically you excommunicate the individual. It seems like something Kevin Spacey's character from that show would do, right? As he talked about being the vice president, you're either a matador or a doormat. Try to figure out which one I'm going to be. The vice president normally isn't worth a warm cup of spit, was I think Jefferson or somebody referred to that position. Joe Biden has given Kamala Harris a couple of big jobs. One, to solve the problem at the border in the Northern Triangle, that being Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. And then we couldn't remember the other job he gave her. Also, make sure that the Voting Rights Act that they're trying to come up with, which is basically the federal government taking over states' elections, Corrections. He also put her in charge of that. So she's got the two different jobs, and she was speaking yesterday in Guatemala. This is the vice president giving advice to migrants. She said,
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come.
If she had thrown some Spanish in there, that would have been really good. Right? No vamos. Is that it, Jacob? No vamos? That means we know we go?
The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. There are legal methods by which migration can and should occur. But we, as one of our priorities, will discourage illegal migration. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back.
And I believe, I believe you'll be turned back.
So let's discourage our friends, our neighbors, our family members from embarking on what is otherwise an extremely dangerous journey, where in large part the only people who benefit are coyotes.
Coyote, as President Bush used to refer to them. She was in Mexico. She spoke in Mexico. Basically, she goes down there and she tells people, don't come, don't come. This has been said before. Smart moves, but still they continue to keep coming because they feel as if they can get in there, or the coyotes tell them they can get in.
I want to be very clear that the problem at the border, in large part, if not entirely, stems from the problems in these countries. I cannot say it enough. Most people don't want to leave home. And when they do, it is usually for one of two reasons. Either they are fleeing harm, or to stay home means that they cannot satisfy the basic needs to sustain and take care of their families.
That's true of any person immigrating out of wherever they are, right? You want to come out of Germany, you want to come out of Cuba, you want to come somewhere. Life is better somewhere else. That's why everybody wants to come to the United States.
But not everybody. I think she raises a good point. Most people don't want to go to the hassle of it. They just feel like they don't have choices. Now, there may be individual entrepreneurial types, but in general, that's true. If you can figure out a way to make their homelands, their home countries, safer and more, you know, profitable for them to stay, they wouldn't be so drawn to where we are.
Well,
which I think is that's true.
Yeah, but good luck trying to fix the problem. She was on with Lester Holt.
Well, that's
picking her apart.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe.
I haven't been to Chick-fil-A recently either.
And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I mentioned it because I know Republicans have certainly come at you on this, but Democratic Congressman Cuellar has a border district, has said to you and the president, come. You need to see this.
Listen, I care about what's happening at the border. I'm in Guatemala because my focus is dealing with the root causes of migration. There may be some who think that that is not important, but it is my firm belief that if we care about what's happening at the border, we better care about the root causes and address them. And so that's what I'm doing.
Why not go to the border, Tom? Why have they not been there since the quote-unquote non-crisis became a crisis because Joe Biden accidentally called it a crisis? Why doesn't she go there? She doesn't want the photo op?
Well, it could be. The thing is, that's all it would be a photo op. I don't have a problem that she doesn't go to the border. Our Homeland Security guy has been to the border a number of times.
She's in charge of it, though. So. She's in charge of it. She's in charge of solving the problem. Wouldn't she go there?
Yeah, well, at some point she said she would go to the border. I mean, as I mentioned, she's a senator from California, so she's been to the border a lot, not as a VP. Uh-huh. And I don't know. I think it's one of those issues that Republicans are all, upset about, because they think it's a way to go after her. But I think you should be praising her for going down to Guatemala and saying in no uncertain terms, do not come. She's getting attacked from the left, from Ocasio-Cortez, saying she was disappointed, and that was her pitch. But that, I would think, would be something that you would approve of if that was
a Trump administration. That makes sense because they told everybody. Credit. Well, they basically told Joe said come, and she said come, and during the debates that they were going to have open borders, and they wanted more people to come. Check it out, Tom. During the debate, right? How many sending them home and cages, and how many home and how many cages? Here's the problem in the Northern Triangle. It's the corruption borders that exists. The guy that was running for president in Guatemala, he hired a couple of hitmen to kill all the other presidential candidates. And then, by the way, came up with a scheme, Ariel Estrada, came up with a scheme to import tons and tons of cocaine into the United States. He's now doing 15 years in prison. That guy, Tom, was going to be the president, could have possibly been the president in the Northern Triangle.
But he's not.
Right. The reason he's not is because he couldn't get the hitmen to kill the other guys.
That's good.
That's the country. They're sending Kamala Harris, one of the most ineffective individuals that we've ever had in the White House, in a horrible position to be down there.
John, that is such hyperbole. Really? It's ridiculous. She's only been in office for 6 months.
And corruption was one of the topics that she dealt with
in Guatemala.
How do you fix that? How do you
trafficking,
fix that?
Smuggling, and corruption.
Fix that?
Well, you're not going to fix it
that?
on one visit, but it's a start. So they've come up with all these programs. They're going to partner in these efforts at cutting down human trafficking and all these economic programs to try to address the reason why people are leaving El Salvador.
You have $13 billion it costs. The tax evasion down there, the illiteracy rate down
corruption.
There. Yes,
corruption.
Right.
Yep. And that's one of the things she's addressing.
Okay. And just like when we put Joe Biden in charge of cancer, finding a cure for cancer and getting rid of all the waste and fraud and abuse in the government, you give the vice president these jobs. She should go down there. They should get pictures of her in front of the border. She should stand next to the cages that were left over from Obama.
Why? Okay, fine. She's at the root causes, and she's now back with Biden is over in Europe now, and he's gonna deal with the G7.
Yeah, he's as good as Dan Quayle. Let's take a look at Tracy Taylor looking at traffic.
You're reading too many right wing websites all of a sudden, John.
Good. A little bit of time for the mailman song. A little something, mailman.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me.
Yes.
I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
Yes. Teeny tiny.
Tell me the truth, and I'm happy. Mislead me, I'm not happy.
Is that the teeny tiny? You have the letter of the day.
She's matured.
She has. Take the lid off a different voice. We'll get to the letter of the day, but first let's take care of all the rest. Here we go. Tom.
So we're starting off with the big story of the day, John, the vaccine lottery. Mm-hmm. Area code 206. I consider myself the ultimate jackpot winner by not getting the vaccine.
Ah, good. Read the next one, Tom, because the mail has not come through for me yet.
Area code 206 says, if you want fair, go to the Puyallup.
Okay, keep going, Tom.
It's boring. It's two men laughing at their own jokes.
But that's nothing wrong with that. Now it's just one man.
Area code 425. If they did it John's way, the next time the country calls for support, everybody would wait and wouldn't rush in to help, hoping for incentives. So the early bird's notion is invalid nowadays.
See, that's what I said. You incentivize the person, and they'll wait. They're going to wait next time.
That's bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
You don't want people to wait. Okay, gotcha. Area code 360. Are you back?
No, I still don't have anything.
Okay, you'll like this one. Area code 360. Philosophy and Bible studies today on Tom and Curly.
That's right. I want to thank Sean for playing religious music underneath. It really helped out. Keep going, because I still have no email. Yes.
Area code 253. I love that. Line jumpers get nothing.
Ah, thank you. That was my idea. Keep going,
Tom. And area code 206.
Yes.
John, you underestimate the power of procrastination. That's why they put vaccine incentives in place.
Ah, when it comes to good deeds, 405 says, no, 404, no such thing as truly selfless act. Everything is done for reward, even if it's an internalized reward.
Speaking your language, and Nick from Orcas, let's not forget that Ayn Rand lived off Social Security towards the end of her life. Does John believe that Jesus Christ was an altruist, or that Jesus was just in it for himself?
Jesus Christ showed us how to live and died for us, and by the way, rose from the dead. So when next time somebody dies for us, let me know. 206, you all act like dopamine is free and a fad. A precious hormonal requires specific nutrients for it to be replenished. And when you have low dopamine, you suffer depression, anxiety, and headaches. There is a cost to all of that feeling good.
Area code 206. Not that I don't love the show, but it surely is interesting listening to you guys debate something non-political. You two are pretty reasonable and articulate when your backs aren't against the wall, desperately defending your parties like they're your kids.
Thank you, 206. Labor market, 253. I've been looking for garage repair guy for 8 months. I'm offering $20 an hour. Do I hear anyone? Anyone?
Area code 206. Please note that unemployment benefit payouts vary state to state. Everyone is getting the $300 pandemic pay, but unemployment pay is separate.
That's right, Tom. Oh, wow, already? Jacob, do you have her there? Did you get the put the lid back on, see if her voice changes.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
It does.
The letter of the day comes from Roger. The Jacob of the Bible defrauded his dad. Jacob at Cairo put a D in my name. What's the deal with guys named Jacob?
Yes.
Put those tomatoes down.
Yes, that. Thank you. Roger.
Roger, not with a D.
Still upset about that, isn't he?
Apparently so.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
She didn't write no more.
She left the gloom hanging round my front door.